I can't tell you what an honor and what a privilege it is to be here today. This reminds me of my college days. I met Dr. Comfort when I was 18 years old. That was over 40 years ago that we met. Hasn't changed a bit. Same color hair, everything just there. It looks great. But he told me how old he is, and I didn't realize that. I just thought you were just a few years older than me. But I've got something that I gave to Dr. Comfort several years ago when he came preaching easily for me. And knowing that Dr. Bill loves biscuits, I thought I'd give him a really big biscuit knife. So, Dr. Bill, I'd like to present this to you tonight. Today, if you'll come up here. I do know, want you to know that Dr. Comfort has it almost identical. So go ahead and open it. And...
All right. Can I take this?
Yes, sir.
Wow. I wish I'd have had this in the Dean of Students office.
It is functional. It's a fully functional samurai sword.
Oh, wow.
It's not real sharp.
That's good.
If you need to sharpen, I can sharpen it for you.
No, sir. If it's dull, I won't cut myself. Wow, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I always tell everybody not to cut anybody or cut themselves because my fingerprints are on it, so I don't want that to happen. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And then hold your finger there and turn to one other verse in Psalm chapter 102 and verse number 2. I'm sorry, 101, verse 2. Everybody got 1 Samuel 18? You know, I know this last week, so many of you were praying for the rapture because of the midterm exams. We did the same thing when we were in college. And, you know, we always prayed hard for the rapture during the midterms and the finals. And the Lord wasn't willing to come at that time. He wanted us to take those tests. But out of that praying... we formed a club called the BTR Club. Have you ever heard of that, the BTR Club? It's only for men. It's called the Bachelors Till the Rapture. And then you get to be the Bride of Christ, okay? I just wondered how many of you fellows are BTR members. I was the president for a long time. This is all here, huh? Well, when I met my wife, I quickly gave up my presidency. And I even stayed a second year of my senior year just to merit so I could make sure I got her. And but she's here today. She's my best friend. And Monica, would you raise your hand so everyone can see you? And girls, let me share something with you. We're here to help and bless. And she has got a skill in making wedding dresses and altering wedding dresses. Now, not my clothes much, but she can alter wedding dresses, and she has a lot of wedding dresses that she'd love to help you with. Several of you've been over to the house. Ask. Mrs. Comfort's been there, and Dr. Bill's wife has been there. They're not getting married, but they've been there for alterations and stuff. So, but fellas, if you want your coat altered, you need to go somewhere else. She doesn't like to do coats, but I'm glad she's able to be here today. And the Psalm 101 and verse 2 is a summary of David's testimony. David said, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." Now turn back, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18. And we're going to read a little bit about behaving yourself wisely. And I want to encourage you today to take some notes. Because this will be this has done more for my life than any other passage or message that I've ever had in my life happen. And I think this will help you as well. 1 Samuel chapter 18. The Bible says in verse number 5, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with the instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s.' And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom?' And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. Again, verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that the Spirit of God would speak through me to your children, to your young people, to your people, those you've called to the ministry. And Lord, I just ask that you'll bless this message and speak through me in Christ's name. Amen. Chapter 18 of 1 Samuel is basically the how David behaved himself wisely. And I want to share with you today, and if you've got your notebooks, I'd like you to write these things down. This meant a lot to me over 30-some years ago when I had a pastor preach. He's with the Lord now, the man who preached this message. But it changed my life and made a difference in my life, and I think it'll make a difference in your life. What I'd like to share with you today is how to be a 200% Christian, or how to behave yourself wisely. What happens when someone behaves themselves wisely? Well, it's listed here for us in the Scriptures. If you'll notice verse 5, and David went out from whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So when you behave yourself wisely, as David did, you will be promoted by your superiors. This is what happened in verse number 5. David was behaving himself wisely, and so Saul promotes him. You know, when I first went to Maranatha, my first job was cleaning the faculty toilets. And I had to clean the second floor toilets. Brother Scoville's office was up there. And I remember how that seemed like a very humbling job, because I went to college and I said, I'm the president of my youth group. And I was was a leader, and my roommates had to humble me and say, well, everybody here was a president of their youth group. And the first job they gave me was not a very popular or prestigious job, you know, cleaning toilets. But I determined that I was going to do the best I could and clean them as white. Now, I never cleaned toilet at home. My mom did, you know. But I began to shine those toilet bowls and clean behind them, and I cleaned the floor, make sure everything was clean. And before long, the faculty member said, boy, those bathrooms are really clean. Now, that means a lot to you, I can tell by the look on your face. But I decided that I was going to do the best that I can. After my roommates told me that, I told them I was a leader in my church, my youth group, and they said, well, if you're going to be a leader at this college, then you're going to have to first be a servant. And that's the first lesson you've got to learn, is that your superiors will promote you if you behave yourself wisely. And that's what David did. Now, verse 7, we see the second thing. David was respected of the women of Israel. Look at verse 7. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So David's testimony, his behaving himself wisely, caused the young ladies to respect him, to look up to him. We're going to find out a little bit later that David's name was much set by. In other words, when they said his name, it meant something special. David. David. Now, is there any fellow named David here? Just one, okay. The fellow that preached last week. Okay. Maybe you'll hear somebody say, David. But his name was much set by. It had a special, special name to it. You know, is there one name that all the girls call out during the school day? You hear somebody talking about somebody? No, don't tell me his name. He wouldn't be able to stand it in chapel, I don't think. Well, David was respected of the women of Israel. That is a good thing to have the respect of women. You know, I traveled to Neighbor Bible Time in 1973. This is before any of you were born. But it really changed me. I was a quiet person. I never talked to girls, and I was just very quiet. And I got something called spizorinctum, and it changed me. And I was doing the booster chair on top of the dining room tables and all kinds of crazy things. It just really changed me, the neighborhood Bible time, and really brought out the real me, I guess. But, you know, it was so nice for people to respect you. And at the time I was at Maranatha, there were 200 students. It grew up to about 800 while I was there. And God began to give me the positions that I didn't, I thought I would get when I first went there, but I became the chaplain of my society, the president of my society. I was in charge of prayer band 5 years. Just a lot of special privileges that God gave me. But I tried to behave myself wisely. I had the respect. There was one time that I got in big trouble. I partially blame it on Dr. Bill Rice the first. You remember Bill Rice?
Oh, yeah.
He's with the Lord now. But he came to college and he, don't do this. Don't do this, please. This is a negative. Don't do this. But he said to us as college students about, he preached that message on Samuel and he had the riddle and the Philistines found out about it. And he said, you would have not known the answer unless you'd plowed with my heifer. Referring to his wife. And so us boys in college, we thought that was a good name to call girls, so we call girls heifers. Okay. Well, with a big mouth like I've got, I got in trouble for it. And it was one of the Stein kids. I called his sister a heifer, and she reported me. Can you imagine going to the D.C. office or to the discipline committee, and you have a demerit there that says, you called so-and-so a heifer. So that was the last time I ever called a girl a heifer, okay? But, like I said, Dr. Rice was the one that used that illustration. I'm not going to blame him, but he's gone. He's up in the Lord's feet. I can't blame him anymore. But it's a good thing to be respected by the young ladies in this college, guys. God wants you, that you need to have the respect of young ladies. And we live in a society today where you have to be very, very careful about your personal relationships. And it's a dangerous thing. I tell the students to go out on visitation with me that I like to have somebody with me. I will not go into a house unless there's a lady there, unless I have another man with me. It's just this is the way the society's gotten today. But David was respected to the ladies. Thirdly, David had the love and approval and the power of God. Look at verse 14. We're going to skip down there. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. That's probably the most important point here. David had the love and the approval and the power with God. Why? Because he behaved himself wisely. You preacher boys today, you want the power of God in your life, you want God's approval on your life, then you must behave yourself wisely. And I hope after I give you these six thoughts, and then I'm going to give the seventh thought is how to behave yourself wisely, that you'll hear. So David had God's approval. Everything he did, he behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And going back to verse 12, David was respected with godly fear. Look at verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. There was something that Saul could tell about David. And it was that he needed to be feared. It was a godly fear. God was with him. And God was protecting him. And God will protect you as well. And Saul was afraid of David because he behaved himself wisely. Now, girls, this is for you as well. God wants you to behave yourself wisely as well. If you look down at verse 16, David was well loved by his equals, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. This is talking about his testimony. This is talking about his peers. You're known by the company you keep, right? When I was in college, we had a football team, and a lot of students came to play football. And then they would leave after football was over. They didn't stay the whole semester, but they came to play football. I'll never forget my freshman year. We played football against a team there in Watertown, and we had a really unusual football team. The score was 99-0. They were ahead of us. I'm there as a freshman, and I'm cheering, keep it under 100, keep it under 100, you know. And it really what it did for the school, though, there were people that came from all over the country. We had people donate brand new uniforms, brand new football shoes and helmets. And we had people come from out west that trained our boys to how to play football, how to hold on to the football, how to throw the football. And it really was a good thing, but it was one of the most embarrassing things. It made nationwide papers. Maranatha Baptist Church loses 99-0. And so I never went out for football. I didn't think that was the thing I wanted to play. But David was loved by his equals. How are you known by your roommates? One of my roommates was Jim McQuillan. He came to play football. He came from out west. He was a sophomore. And during the sophomore revival, I think it was Dr. Comfort that spoke that second year. You have to check your record, but it was 1972. And Jim came back after the revival service, and I was the prayer captain of six guys in a room. And Jim gave a testimony. Jim said, "I got saved tonight." We were all shocked. You know, Jim had been with us for a semester and been played on the football team. Season was over, but we're in January. We had the spring revival, you should call it. And Jim looked at us five guys and he said, "You know what? Last year, I was in a room with five guys, and none of them acted like Christians. At least not in the dorm. And I was ready to quit this year after football. I was going to give one more semester and see if anybody really loved the Lord and really act like a Christian." And then he pointed his finger and he said, "Especially you, Bob." I was a prayer captain. I was so thankful that God, I was walking with the Lord. And Jim said, "I got saved tonight because of your testimony, because of your in the dorm, the life you live in the dorm, not out there in public, but in the dorm." And Jim went on to become a Christian school teacher and is out west somewhere serving. But I am so glad that I didn't mess up. I'm so glad I lived before the Lord. Jim trusted Christ as Savior. And you have no idea. I've often wondered why Christian colleges have revival at the beginning of the first semester and in the second semester they have revival. There's a lot of young people that get saved in Christian college. My pastor, Fred Moritz, got saved at Pillsbury. His junior year in college, 3 years of college, and I don't know if you know Dr. Moritz, but he got saved his third year in college. And that really surprised me. My brother Gary used to work for a pastor up in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. He went to BBF in Springfield and had graduated and was pastoring a church, starting a church in Sheboygan. And it was while he was pastoring there that he got saved. That was a shock. I want you to make sure that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior today. But David was a man who was loved by his equals. Number six, David was honored and revered by his enemies. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 30, if you have your Bibles open, it says, "Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, that his name was much set by." And that idea, that word "set by" means that he was more successful, his name was precious. It was a name, like I said at the very beginning, people, when they spoke the name David, it really got people's attention. It really made people say, "Oh yeah, David. David." So I've given you six thoughts here concerning how David behaved himself wisely. I've showed you what happens when you behave yourself wisely. You're promoted by your superiors. You're respected by the women of Israel. You're loved and approval with God. And you have power with God. David was respected with godly fear by Saul. David was loved by his equals, and his name was honored and revered even by his enemies. And I don't know that you have a lot of enemies. But I want you to know that the ministry has changed in the 42 years that I've been in it. And there are people out there today, especially connected with the internet, there are people out there today that are twisting things, turning things, trying to change things. And our missionary last night was talking about they give Bibles away in Papua New Guinea. And he went to one school and they said, we don't want that King James Bible. You give us any other Bible and we'll accept it. We don't want that King James Bible that they give away. And he started to ask them, why don't you want that? They didn't, because there are certain things that they can prove with their other versions that you cannot prove in the Bible in the King James. And so they give out the King James Bible. It's BIMI, missionaries. But you know, today, I hope you have a desire to behave yourself wisely. That's what I hope. If you forget everything else I preach about, all these points, I hope God gives you a desire to behave yourself wisely. And you say, well, okay, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked because I've got 5 more points. Number one, always obey the authority over us. You found that in verse 5. David obeyed Saul. He was the authority over David. You may have a trouble with some of the school rules. I know when I first got to school, it was difficult sometimes to go to bed at lights out, and it was difficult to be quiet and behave yourself. Some things were difficult for me. Other things were easy. I was made to take my garbage out every day. My mom made me do that and make my bed. That was easy. But some guys have a hard time making their bed and things like that. And I don't know about your girls. I guess you're just naturally make your beds, right? But, there are some things that were difficult. Many things were easy for me. But God wants us to obey those who have authority over us. Now, I'm not going to ask how many demerits Dr. Bill has given out this semester. I hope it's less than 10. No? Okay. Oh. Shame on you. You know, believe me, I know it's easy to get demerits and you really didn't do it. One time I got demerits for talking to a girl after the bell rang, and she was talking to me about her church having neighborhood Bible time, and I was given demerits for dating her. She goes into the discipline committee and she said, I would never date Bob Reese. And so the discipline committee let her go. My turn comes next. It says, you have 15 demerits here for dating after hours. I said, I was not dating her. She was asking me about neighbor Bible time. Too bad. 15 demerits. So be careful. Be careful. So David had obeyed the authority over them. Are you struggling with the rules here? Then you're not behaving yourself wisely. David obeyed those who had authority over him. Number two, David had an active faith. You look down in verse 10. I didn't really cover this. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Now, I have a couple of javelins. I didn't want to bring them today to demonstrate. But twice, the Bible says, Saul took a javelin and tried to pin David to the wall. Now, he was playing a guitar or some sort of instrument with 10 strings, and it took both hands, and so it was very difficult to use your hand to block something like that. But you'd think if somebody threw a javelin at you once, right, one time, and he missed you, and then you go in and you go play a special for him another time, and you see he's got a javelin in his hand, what would that do to you? That's why I say that David had an active faith. He was trusting God. He'd already been missed once, but he still trusted God, even though this guy had a second javelin. He could have pierced David, but he trusted God. He had an active faith. Number three, if you want to have be a person who's behaving yourself wisely, David did everything well he was given to do. Everything he did well. He had a high standard of excellence. That's my fourth point. It's also found in verse 30. That his enemies recognized the high standard of excellence. He did everything that he was given to do, and he did it well. When you turn in a term paper, or you write you do a report, or you take a test, do you do your very best? I know you're not like those kids that say, Lord, help me to remember the things that I studied. because you didn't study. So the Lord's not going to help you remember anything, right? I hope you're the kind of person that you study and you have your priorities right. Now, I had to learn this the hard way. While I was in college, I thought I needed a car. And then when I got a car, I had to go get a job to pay for car payments, which didn't make much sense. My college was paid for by my father's death. I really didn't have to work. But I thought I had to have a car, so I'd go on extension, and then I had to make car payments, and then my grades began to go down. And I didn't do everything that I was supposed to do with the best ability that I could do it. Back when I went to college, they didn't have guidance counselors, so I was taking junior and senior courses my freshman year. Everybody was wondering why this young little 18-year-old or 17-year-old was taking Greek and Bible doctrine and Life of Christ and all these upper-class courses, and I was a freshman. But I had just been saved a year, and I just wanted to take all Bible. Who cares about freshman English and psychology and things like that? I'll take that my senior year. You know how embarrassing it is to be a senior and sitting in with freshmen in English class? It is embarrassing. But that's how I did it. I took all those big, those heavy classes in the beginning. Dr. Caugill, your father-in-law, wanted me to take 3 years of Greek. And I can't remember who was the history major, but he wanted me to take 3 years of history. And I ended up doing a speech recital instead, and they all were mad at me. But I decided I wanted to do everything I did the best of my ability. A 200% Christian is what I'm talking about here. If you look at chapter 18, verses 25 through 27, as I close, David did double what was required. And this is important. Look at verse number 25. And Saul said, "Thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry." He's talking about he's going to give Saul's going to give one of his daughters to David to marry. "But 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies." But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. Saul wanted David to die. And verse 26, "And when the servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins and gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually." But here's the lesson. David did double what was required. Have you ever met somebody who does just enough to get by? I worked in a lot of factories in college, and a lot of the men in society or in the Watertown area, they did just enough to get by. And some students are like that. They write just enough essay answer to get by. But not David. When he was asked to bring 100 examples of killing Philistines, he brought 200. And you say, where's that in the New Testament? I'm glad you asked. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. That's the 200% Christian, doing double what's required of you. When I was in college, we had to go out and witness to 3 people a week. It was required in personal evangelism. And I thought it was great. I came out of the public school system, and now I'm going to get a grade for witnessing to people. I thought it was great. But there was another group in our college from the Christian school that didn't like that. I remember them complaining, and I'm having the greatest time out there in the streets of Watertown, winning people to Christ. And I got straight A's in personal evangelism. I thought it was great. But, you know, it wasn't just, I didn't want to witness just the 3 people and write their names. And I wrote this guy's name, this guy, this guy. And, you know, that I did 7 or 8. I would try to do double. And so I'm challenging you today. You want to behave yourself wisely? Then you be a 200% Christian. Now, I've heard preachers preach and say, you need to give God 100%. I'm telling you today, give God 200%. I'd rather burn out for God than rust out, wouldn't you? So today, behave yourself wisely. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I know how much this message affected me when I was a young person. I was actually a youth pastor while I was in college. And I decided that I wanted to behave myself wisely. I wanted to be a 200% Christian. And I'm asking you today before the Lord, would you decide to behave yourself wisely? Would you ask God to help you behave yourself wisely? Would you today ask God to help you to be not 100%, but 200% Christian? You say, Pastor Reese, would you pray for me? That's my heart's desire. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else? Father, I pray today that the hands that were raised and that you saw would be genuine. I pray that something real would happen in their life today. I pray that today they might determine by your grace and by your power to become 100%, 200% Christian, to behave themselves wisely.